From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak.
All members vote who desire to vote.
Members, this budget is not our preference.
Share the pain.
We've got to stop the game.
No baloney.
Taxes, taxes, taxes.
The next step is the governor's.
Only the good Lord knows.
Mr. Secretary, call
the roll. And when you hear those sounds, you know what it means. It's time for our weekly Capitol chat. Plenty of news coming out of our state's capital this week to talk about. A new field poll was just released this morning. It takes a look at the three competing tax initiatives that you are probably going to have to vote on in November. And the legislature's Republicans seeing eye to eye with our governor. That's actually a great headline for Capitol Chat, so we'll talk about that. In our studio this morning, Ben Adler, the newly named Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
And congratulations on the position.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know your way well through the halls and up the stairways and into the offices. So let's start out by talking this morning about the field poll. What did it tell us?
Field poll looked at the three most likely tax initiatives to qualify for the November ballot. We don't know if all three of them will be there. Who knows? We're going to see how that goes over the coming months. But it looked at the one proposed by Governor Jerry Brown. It looked at the one that calls itself the Millionaire's Tax from the California Federation of Teachers and other groups. And it looked at the initiative from wealthy civil rights activist Molly Munger. And so just to give you the quick results, the one with the highest rating so far is the Millionaire's Tax, 63% yes, 31% no. Governor Brown's initiative, 58% yes, 36% no. And Ms. Munger's tax initiative, 45% yes, 48% no.
That actually parallels the governor's own internal polling just in terms of the Millionaire's initiative ranking on top, doesn't it?
Well, generally what polls seem to show is that the Millionaire's and the governor's initiatives are neck and neck. Usually the Millionaire's has a slight edge, and the Munger initiative does not poll as well. At least, you know, the governor's folks, of course, did release their internal polling this week to make a public point. If your internal polling doesn't make the point you want it to do, you're not going to release it to the public.
Exactly.
So yes, then the field poll, I don't think the governor's folks would say the field poll doesn't come as much of a surprise to them.
Let's, for the audience, review the quick little synopsis of what each of the initiatives is.
The governor's measure would raise the sales tax by half a cent and raise the income tax on individuals who make more than $250,000 a year or families earning more than $500,000 a year. And the money would go for education and, by doing so, free up the state's general fund a little bit to help lower the budget deficit. The millionaire's tax would raise the income tax on Californians making more than $1 million and raise it even more on incomes above $2 million. The money would go to schools, social services, public safety, and road maintenance. And Munger's tax initiative would raise the income tax on most Californians, but on a sliding scale, so the rich would get a higher increase than the middle class. And it would earmark most of the money for K-12 education and pay down some of the state's debt in the first few years. And so if we look at the three measures and how it all bodes for the November ballot, there's a couple questions to ask. And then one is, if more than one tax measure is on the ballot, what are the chances? Do they remain the same or do they change? And that is a hot debate right now. The governor's team says if there's more than one, it's going to be really bad. They're all going to go down. And the backers of the other initiative say, various things. For example, they'll say that their measure is the best.
Of course.
And yet they will also say that in the past there have been examples that have shown that sometimes competing measures can pass. Then the other question to look at is, well, tax initiative starting out, at least the governor's and the millionaire's one, with broad, at least above majority support. And so can a tax measure actually pass? The last eight statewide tax measures in California, as Republicans like to say, have failed.
Have not.
So field poll director Mark DiCamillo spoke about that yesterday.
Sometimes initiatives hold to their initial level of support. Others, oftentimes, in the face of big spending, can get beat down. So I think the unknown here, the big element that we can't factor in until it occurs, is what would be the magnitude of the opposition campaigns running against each of these initiatives, and what is the magnitude of the proponents' spending and advertising as well.
Well, the magnitude of the opposition, it's interesting, and I think there are some other dynamics at work here, Ben. We've got the Senate President Pro Tem, Daryl Steinberg, saying, our governor has a plan out here. shouldn't we stand by our governor?
He's
our leader.
Tie
goes to the governor, right. And then you've also got that idea of the millionaires tax initiative just being labeled millionaires. And that resonates with people who might not know details about the initiative, but decide, yeah, I do want to take that position in raising taxes. I want to tax millionaires more. Mm-hmm. And it might gain public support just by the name of it.
The point that the governor's supporters and Senator Steinberg also makes is, yes, the millionaire's tax tends to pull better at first, but they believe it will attract more of a funded opposition, to Mark DiCamillo's point just a moment ago, than the governor's tax initiative will.
I want to move on to something else here, because we're mentioning the governor. He is in Washington, D.C. this week. He's at the winter meeting of the National Governors Association, which is unusual for him. It's not usually on his schedule. But I'm going to start you off with a quote from yesterday. I just love to grab on to the things he says because they're just so to the point. And so he was coming out of the Marriott Hotel Thursday afternoon, and a reporter talked to him about the dinners that he was attending. And he said, "I'm going to stop anyone who looks like they have money and ask them to contribute, because we need money in our state."
Yeah.
And he is there for fundraising.
That is one of the many things he is there for, to tap some money, some fundraising for his tax initiative, to gather signatures, because that costs a couple million dollars. Then, of course, there's TV ads and campaign materials for the measure as well. But he's also meeting with President Obama. He did so this morning, met with other Democratic governors, the president, and senior administration officials. He's having lunch with China's ambassador to the U.S. He's meeting with U.S. State Department officials later today, and other National Governors Association meetings. He'll meet later on in the week with the Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. And I'm sure at that point, some of the state budget issues are going to come up as well. So, and he's on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday morning.
He has a full plate. This is our Friday Capital Chat. Our bureau chief, Ben Adler, is in our studio with us this morning. We're talking about a variety of busyness that's happening with the Capitol. And an interesting stamp of approval happened this week. Although it's not final, it was a arm-in-arm lockstep on pension reform. Will you talk about that a bit?
Sure. And by arm-in-arm lockstep, that would be the Republicans introducing Governor Jerry Brown's pension proposal word for word without changing a single letter, as the Senate Minority Leader Bob Huff said.
Wow.
I don't know if, you know, let's put it this way. Senator Steinberg yesterday, the Democratic leader, said he told Bob Huff, the minority leader, that was a clever move, in that the general consensus on the conventional wisdom here is it seeks to put pressure on Democrats. To
mm-hmm.
back the governor's pension plan. But the governor, of course, was very mute, shall we say, or the governor's office was, on the Republicans doing that, because the move is being seen by the plan's critics as political. Even Democrats inside the building see it as political, but Republicans would say, look, we support the governor's measure. We think what he's doing here is right, and we're going to get on board. Let's listen to what Republican Assemblyman Cameron Smyth said.
These are all very common sense measures that we feel that Republicans and Democrats alike should easily embrace. And by moving forward together, we can restore some of the faith of the people of California in their legislature, that we understand that we're all in this together, Republicans and Democrats, the administration, the legislative branch, and that if we don't work together, we will all suffer as a whole. And so it's, the governor has stepped forward. We, as the Republican caucus, has stepped forward. And now we expect the same from our Democrat colleagues.
Talk about politics. We're going to see a lot as this one moves. What's next? Is there a hearing coming up next week?
The Pension Conference Committee in the legislature, with some assembly members and state senators, does meet next week to look at increasing the retirement age. Republicans are saying that Democrats are just talking this issue to death and pushing it off the radar when, in their mind, we know what needs to be done now and not waste any more time. Democrats say we're going to set the emotion and the heated rhetoric aside, and we're going to study pretty deeply the nuts and bolts of pensions and craft a solution that addresses the governor's concerns, maybe not exactly the way the governor wants would propose.
Yeah, his initiative was just pulled back off the ballot just 2 weeks ago. So obviously there was some fast pressure to make a move. And
well, there was an outside group that was proposing a pension overhaul that went further than what the governor proposed, and that was what was pulled off the ballot a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Not the governor's.
Not the governor's. Okay. Speaking of the Republicans, between the hearing next week and right now, we've got a convention.
Yeah. The Republican State Party has its convention in the Bay Area this weekend in Burlingame, just south of San Francisco. And there's, of course, a lot of inside baseball issues there about, you know, how they're going to turn out the vote and candidates and who they're going to endorse and so on and so forth. But I think for most folks who maybe aren't interested in the nuts and bolts and inside baseball of the internal party machine or the machinations, rather, they're interested in the presidential primary. And Newt Gingrich is going to speak in person. Mitt Romney is sending one of his supporters, former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty. I don't believe Rick Santorum has anyone is speaking. I know Santorum and Ron Paul are not going, and if they have big surrogates going, I haven't seen that yet. But I asked about half an hour ago, I was on the phone with the state party chair, Tom Del Beccaro, and I asked him about a recent field poll earlier this week showing Mitt Romney with a slight lead over Rick Santorum. And I asked him if that was a fair characterization of where he thought the race is right now.
The emphasis right now, I think that it's a fluid race. I think Super Tuesday is going to decide a lot. If it's a mixed decision or a split decision, then I think California becomes very relevant, and I think we'll be involved in the decision as to who the presidential nominee is going to be.
And I should have clarified that the poll I was referring to with Romney up on Santorum by a few points was a poll of California voters, not a nationwide poll.
Okay. Well, this is a busy time for you, and because we're congratulating you on the new position, it's a moment to ask, what is a day in your life like as the Capitol Bureau Chief? It's the perfect time to ask that question.
It can be pretty hectic sometimes. It really depends on the time of year. When budget talks are going down to the wire, you're sometimes staking out the governor and some lawmakers. When there are late night sessions to get laws through, so you're at the Capitol pretty late. But perhaps a good typical example of what my day is like was my day yesterday, where I went to different events at 10 and 11 o'clock, came back, wrote some stories up, and kind of bounced back and forth, and was running around a lot at the first part of the day. And sometimes you're halfway through a story and you have to set it all aside because something else breaks and you got to get on that. But, Capitol Public Radio being the only radio station in the state with two full-time reporters covering the Capitol, I do have help. And not to segue into the fund drive, but I'm going to anyway. It's only possible because of you, our listeners. So just want to say thank you very much for that, because our statewide coverage is not just surviving but thriving at a time when the press corps at the Capitol gets smaller and smaller seemingly by the day.
Well, your work, your content, your discussion, the thought-provoking questions are enjoyed and appreciated by all the listeners. So thanks for the pitch. And you're going to do a pitch later on today as well. So I know you're spending part of your day here with us.
No, thank you, Beth. Appreciate it.
All right, Ben. Ben Adler, our Capitol Bureau Chief, thanks so much for joining us. You won't really have a weekend with all that's going on, but we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Take care.
You are listening to Insight from Capitol Public Radio. A veteran of the war in Iraq is fighting a different battle now on behalf of his baby girl when he's back home. Coming up, we're going to tell you how you can help.
This is the Winter Fund Drive on Capitol Public Radio during Insight, and I'm Joe Barr along with Steve Milne. And the segment that you just heard is a great example of something that nobody else does on the radio in our region. Great analysis of what's happening at the state capitol. What our lawmakers do affects all of us. We should know what they're up to. And you can rely on coverage from people like Ben Adler and Jenny O'Mara to tell you what is happening. What are the lawmakers doing? And not only that, on Insight, we deconstruct it. We go through it. We explain it. We give you context, analysis. All of those things come to you on Insight and through our news service here at Capitol Public Radio. And all of those things happen because of listeners who become members, listeners who make a contribution to Capitol Public Radio.
So, Michael, what do you think of this new CD we're offering during the fund drive from your countryman, Sir Paul McCartney?
It's fantastic, but I'm not sure about the title.
You mean Kisses on the Bottom?
Well, it's a bit cheeky, don't you think?
Actually, there's a real story behind that title.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter.
It's a line from this classic song.
And make believe it came from you.
Ah, yes, written by the great Fats Waller.
A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad I've got them.
So that's the scoop behind the title of Paul McCartney's new CD.
And when you call in to request it, have some fun with the volunteers and say, I'd like kisses on the bottom, please.
Or not. Make your donation today by calling 1-800-800-5867.
And we'd like to hear from you and make a contribution right now. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
Great radio is expensive. For every person you hear, whether it's Beth Rujak or David Watts Barton or Ben Adler, three or four others work behind the scenes. Your contribution pays for what you hear on Capital Public Radio. And remember, more than half of our budget comes from listeners. We have some great underwriters. But if you look at the pie chart, if you look at our budget, you'll see a big chunk of it, more than half of our budget, comes from listener support. And that's what this fund drive is all about. We want to end the fund drive as quickly as possible, but it is an important time for us. So your contribution in any amount provides essential support for this station, and it benefits the whole community. Please contribute now, 1-800-800-5867.
And I want to tell you quickly about our Capital Public Radio Bistro mug. This is the perfect mug for your favorite beverage. It holds 14 ounces of whatever you are drinking when you listen to Capital Public Radio. It's made of glossy black ceramic, and it has our new music heart design on the front, has the Capital Public Radio red and white logo on the back. And this is actually my favorite mug of all the mugs we've ever offered here at Capital Public Radio. It's a beautiful mug. Ask for it when you contribute $120 or more, or tell us you want your entire contribution to benefit the station. 1-800-800-5867, capradio.org.
Most of our support comes from listeners. We also get support from California Healthcare Foundation, supporting efforts to respect the wishes of patients at the end of their lives, on the web at chcf.org/endoflifecare. From the Mondavi Center, UC Davis presenting a gala evening featuring the U.S. premiere of ballet, Preljakaj Blash Nej, followed by a dinner at the Robert Mondavi Institute prepared by Chef Michael Chiarello, mondaviarts.org/gala. And from Courtyard School in Midtown Sacramento, providing a transitional kindergarten through eighth grade education with after-school programs, field trips, and an average class size of 16. Information at courtyard.org. Show your support for Capital Public Radio with a contribution right now at capradio.org or 1-800-800-5867.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Rujak. Let's find out what's happening today with Senior Editor Alan Ray, who joins us from the newsroom. Alan, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Beth. This is the first of what could be many big, dark days for the city of Stockton.
The newsroom today.
This is the first of what could be many big, dark days for the city of Stockton, out of cash and running out of prospects. At the Sarah Stockton, City Manager Bob Dice is holding a news conference to give reporters and the public a big-picture view of the city's finances. The next step could come Tuesday, when the City Council could vote on whether to enter mediation with Stockton's creditors. That would be the first step toward filing for bankruptcy protection. If that happens, Stockton would be the largest city in the country to do it, and it would be the first to try it since new state laws were enacted to make municipal bankruptcy filings more difficult. The emails from Sarah Palin's last days as governor of Alaska suggest she really was ready to quit the job long before she did. The emails come from her last 10 months in office before she finally resigned in July of 2009. In one, she told husband Todd, "I can't take it anymore." After her unsuccessful run as John McCain's vice presidential running mate, she went back to Alaska to investigations and mounting legal bills, finally writing one email that said, "I can't afford this job." More news beginning at 3:30 this afternoon on All Things Considered from Capital Public Radio.
Hey, Alan, do I owe you an apology? Did I step on the beginning of your newscast?
That's okay. My tongue's impervious.
I wasn't hearing you out here, and I thought maybe you were jamming on your computer back there. So
No. I'm always here waiting.
Oh, of course you are. Thank you. You have a wonderful, busy day, okay?
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. Sergeant James Crismore is 28 years old. He spent 15 months in Iraq during the war, and he came home injured after a rollover accident in a Humvee that happened during combat patrol. He's now retired from the Army, and he's also adjusting to civilian life. But at home, he and his wife and entire family have faced a new fight. His baby daughter, Harlow, who was born a year ago on Valentine's Day, has cerebral palsy, among some other issues. Sergeant James Crismore is here with us today. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Beth, for letting me be here.
Actually, you're not alone.
Yes. Thank you for letting Harlow be here.
Harlow is here with us in a lovely, big, normal stroller that you would see any other little girl in. But look over at her, James, and tell us about all the equipment that's on her stroller. What are we seeing?
Well, today it's kind of an unusual day. So she's been having a lot of activity with her seizures. So we've had to kind of set up with her pump. She's got her feeding pump set up on her car seat and her oxygen set up on there. So we have a wheelchair at home that we have, but it's not really retrofitted for all of her normal equipment already.
So James, to share more about why you're here and why Harlow is here, she has cerebral palsy, she has epilepsy, and she is blind. Is that correct? We have an oxygen tank. There is a monitor. There are tubes wrapped around her stroller. And then buried in all of this is the sweetest little face. And these bright eyes that track you as you walk around, little fingers, and just a precious little girl. You've got her looking up at me. Tell me about this little girl.
Well, I just wish that I could... I wish I could sum it all up in the time that we have. It's hard to tell you everything that we've been battling, but I want to talk to you about the good things that we have going on, and the wonderful support that we have with the people that we have behind us and the. In the recent past.
And that's why you're here, because
absolutely.
You need help with Harlow's care.
Absolutely.
And the insurance obviously isn't covering all of what she needs.
Absolutely.
I see you look over at your daughter and I can tell you're somewhere between your words and your emotion.
It's hard. Yes, it's very hard to talk when it comes to her. It's it's one of those things that's everybody in our family. Everybody in our family loves her so much, and it's one of those things that she's. She touches everybody's heart. Everybody that holds her, everybody that touches her, everybody that sees her, everybody, no matter who they are, whether it's someone at the VFW at our local post that I go to in Fair Oaks, whether it be at Laughs Unlimited where they're sponsoring us for our fundraiser, or at anywhere. I mean, Harlow has this magical touch that
James,
I can't describe.
Coming back from Iraq, and I want to take a moment to thank you for your service. And I mean that fully from my heart. Coming back, you walked into a different kind of mission. You have a wife and two other children and this little baby girl, and you're injured. I see with your walk, and I know from your hip injuries you struggle too. What purpose has this given your life, and has it helped you make the transition?
Ideally, what I'd like to do is I'd like to help other children in Harlow's situation. My future and my wife's future is to help to support other children in the area, to provide equipment before they run out of time in the early intervention systems, or before it takes them, but before like in Harlow's situation, Harlow, it took her approximately 8 months to receive her first piece of equipment, and I would not want to see that happen to another child. So I want to see that I would like to start a program to facilitate helping other children get equipment in the Sacramento area, and maybe broaden to help other children get equipment to help them to achieve their goals of rehabilitating. I mean, ultimately our children deserve that, and that's my mission, and that's my wife's mission.
I'm speaking with Sergeant James Crismore, an Iraq war vet, but we're talking about his baby girl, Harlow, and the family's efforts to provide her care. She has cerebral palsy, she is blind and an epileptic, and she just needs a lot of love and care to get through her days. We are going to be joined right now in our interview by Skip Capuana. He is the owner of Laughs Unlimited. Oh, that put a smile on your face, James. Skip, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us. And I would like you to talk about how it is that you connected with James. Oh, he's just beaming, Skip.
I initially met James a couple of months ago. He was doing a fundraiser for Harlow. And you can tell by his manner, you know, how quiet and sincere and dedicated he is. Very unassuming. He came into the club just to find out if we could put up a flyer for the fundraiser that he was doing. And we chatted a little bit at that point. And of course, I put it up. And unfortunately, I was very busy that day, and I kind of just didn't pay that much attention to it. But I started to think about James and Harlow, and of course Rachel. Let's not forget his wife.
Who is
a real hero through this whole thing. More and more. And then a newspaper article came out. He was on a TV station, and so James and I reconnected and said, I said to myself, we have to do something here. There's the humanity in this young man is just absolutely tremendous. You pretty much covered what he and Rachel and Harlow have been going through. But the one thing that strikes me, again, is his humanity, that he wants to reach out and help others. So he is truly a hero. So we here at Laughs Unlimited want to try and help out the family and help out his cause also, to continue to raise money for not only Harlow, but for other young children in that situation. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser on Sunday for Harlow. It's called Hope for Harlow. We're going to have a band from 3 to 6:30 playing. It's going to be Four Barrel from Woodland. Then we're going to do our comedy show. May not on the surface seem a little inappropriate, but you know, through all of this, you have to keep a good attitude and smile and keep going forward and be positive. So all of the proceeds that we get from the day with the band and with the comedy show, we're going to donate to Hope for Harlow, and then hopefully continue on with this to be able to not only help Harlow, but also with James's cause to be able to help other children.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's just great. Well, Skip, I know you're a Navy man and James is an Army man, and maybe there was some shared connection there too. But James, can you describe what it meant to have Skip jump on board with this effort?
I just having somebody that actually just having somebody there that actually clicked meant something. Just having meeting Skip and having him, he actually told me that when I first met him, and I met with him a couple of times, and Skip's a very busy man. And I'm sure he might not recall this, but he had actually gone to a couple of meetings and tried to present some of my information to local businesses. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the success rate was, but he had he had pursued more of my he had pushed more of my information than I had ever imagined, and anybody would have from a business perspective, if you understand what I'm saying.
Skip, it sounds like you've got James's back.
Absolutely. Being retired, I mean, there was an absolute connection with him right now. There is so much we have to do for the, you know, we throw the word hero around very easily. But to me, James is truly a hero with what he's had to go through. Number one, of course, you know, he volunteered to protect us. We live under the very blanket of security that he provided. We certainly cannot turn our back on him right now or forget what he's going through right now. And being a Vietnam vet, you know, we didn't have that opportunity when we came back. We didn't come back under the same circumstances. So this is our opportunity right now to be able to give back and continue with it. Not only this one fundraiser, but we want to, you know, have a barrel here for Hope for Harlow. We're going to have her picture up here. We're not going to forget this family and the other families that are in James's situation. So everybody that comes through the doors at Laughs Unlimited is going to see that. And hopefully your listeners today can have some compassion for this and come out, listen to some music, come to the comedy show, support this cause, because his family and other families like him absolutely need it. As a community right now, we really need to step up and do something, not just give lip service to it.
And Skip, if you go to the Capital Public Radio website, which is Capital Public Radio, capradio.org/insight, you will also see a picture of Harlow, a darling little picture. And I'm just amazed at what this little girl has been able to do, especially James, as you say, the equipment she needed didn't come until 8 months of her life. She is a little fighter. She's a survivor. And I know your family has a spirit of love around her that is just keeping her going. You just need some reinforcement now. You need some help. And Skip, what a wonderful thing that you're doing to help out. I feel like this probably won't be the first Hope for Harlow event over there, but Laughs Unlimited Sunday night. And James, just a few final words to, if you want to, ask people to please come, please help, and do what they can.
Absolutely. And I would just like, if anybody, the people that do come, if they can please, if they do come, please thank Skip for his generous service and kind heart. And welcome for my daughter and my family and for the families that he is willing to help. And I think that says a lot for what he's willing to do. And I think that should be what a lot of people should be willing to do here in the future. And I think I think I'm really grateful for what Skip's doing. Thank you, Skip.
You're welcome. Again, as I said, listen to the humanity in this man right now. Not an ounce of bitterness for what he's been through right now. Please come out and support this family.
Thank you, Skip. Thank you, James, and to your wife, Rachel, and your family. Many good wishes. And Sunday night at Harlow's, and again to all of the listeners, capradio.org/insight, a picture of this little Valentine's baby Harlow, and do what you can to pitch in and help. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, we're going to change gears a bit. It is Fashion Week in Sacramento, and we have a preview of the runway coming up from Cary Grant and Yenny Joe just ahead.
Good morning. I'm Steve Milne with Joe Barr, and this is the Fun Drive on Capital Public Radio. And Insight really does connect you and keep you connected with your community. That was a great example of that with the segment with James Crissamore and the event coming up at Laughs Unlimited, Hope for Harlow. keep introducing you to folks in your community like Mr. Chris Amore and his daughter Harlow, and telling you about things that are happening. And that's a great example, too, of the intimacy of radio. You can really hear a lot of emotion in that that piece that we just heard. So your contribution makes it happen. If you love that kind of radio, if you want to stay connected to community, if you value that, then please go to the phone now and support it with a contribution at 1-800-800-5867.
Your contribution to Capital Public Radio pays for what you listen to every day. You don't have to pay for all the programs. Maybe it's just insight. Maybe that's the only show that you listen to. Just donate what you can afford and think about what is important to you about Capital Public Radio. What program adds to your life? Is it Insight? Is it Morning Edition? Is it All Things Considered or the music programming? Take a moment, think about it, and then make a call at 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
We'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you to Fat Cat Scones and Magpie Catering for generously donating food for our volunteers during the fund drive. In addition to listener support, we get support from Chrysalis Cosmetics and Dr. Charles Perry, Embracing a Healthy Sacramento and providing comprehensive plastic surgery services located at 38th and J Street. Information at sacramentoplastics.com. From SMUD's Greenergy program, partnering to build a cleaner, healthier tomorrow, working together to make a difference. More information is at smud.org/greenenergy. We'd also like to support comes from Westerveld Ecological Services, delivering full-service habitat restoration and mitigation projects that help enhance the conservation landscape in California. More information on Westerveld Ecological Services is at westmitigation.com. From Hutchins Street Square, presenting Country Joe McDonald's tribute to Woody Guthrie with a focus on the charm, talent, and political and social consciousness of the legendary folk singer this Sunday at 3, hutchinsstreetsquare.com. And we get support from Rudolf Steiner College, offering Waldorf teacher education programs to develop teacher creativity and love of learning in the children. Information evenings on February 27th and March 12th at 7:30, steinercollege.edu. Most of our support comes from listeners. Call in with your contributions during Insight. Go to capradio.org or 1-800-800-5867.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Well, if you follow fashion, New York's Fashion Week is done, but hey, Sacramento's is in full swing. Our city has its own fashion style, and it has prominence in foreign and domestic fashion. So with us in studio this morning to talk about it is designer Yenny Joe and personal stylist Cary Grant. And this is Sacramento Fashion Week. So welcome, ladies. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How about a few adjectives to describe Sacramento's fashion community? Cary, do you want to start?
I think that it has a casual element to it, but it also has a very chic element at the same time. I enjoy it a lot.
Was I correct when I said that it has some prominence in both domestic and foreign fashion?
I think it definitely does. I've had conversations with several different designers and boutiques from here to San Francisco, and I think that Sacramento has its own personal style that we should be cultivating. We shouldn't necessarily be looking to other areas. We've got a lot of talent here.
Yenny, you're a designer, and you're here, so that speaks for itself. But what would you add to what Cary's saying?
I would totally agree with her, and as a designer, I come from a different background. I was born in the United States, so definitely I can bring in something from a different perspective, I would say, you know, like the inspiration from other countries and from other elements.
Tell us about your background, and then you were a student, and where you get your inspiration being in Sacramento.
Well, it's a long story, but I was born in Vietnam, raised in China, and I came here when I was 13. So I used to study architecture, engineering, and then I shifted to fashion about 7 years ago. So I studying making dresses. And so most of my stuff, it's, I would say the inspirations from architectures, it's really structured. And but at the same time, it's, you know, it's functional, it's fun. So, yeah.
Cary, how does Yenny personify what our design community is like in this city?
Well, I think that she touched on it in regards to the architecture and clothing fashion being a very fine line between the two. And Sacramento has some amazing architecture here, as well as having some amazing fashion. So I think that being able to take those elements and bringing them not only from out of the country, but here, homegrown, local, is a really great way to push the fashion envelope, if you will, and bring new life to what we wear and what we see around us.
So it's all on stage this week for Fashion Week, which truly is a week. Events started on Tuesday, and we'll talk in a moment about the big shows that are both tonight and on Saturday. It started back in 2006, and what was the idea, Carrie, at the beginning?
I believe the idea was that there's a lot of local designers who are struggling to get their designs seen and shown. Renting space can be very expensive. Running a website can be very expensive. And so the premise was that this was going to be a showcase for our local talent to be seen not only here in Sacramento, but be able to be blogged about and sent across the airwaves and seen on television so that they would get the recognition that they needed. And then, of course, hopefully we get the funding. And so that's how it began. And I think that's still basically the grassroots idea behind it. But it's just definitely evolved into this really amazing, beautiful show that I think is pretty comparable to something in San Francisco or L.A.
And it is in partnership with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
It is. And I think that any time that you can add a charity to an event like a fashion event, I think that it does bring some heart to it and people are feeling generous. And I think it's a really good connection. And the connection is fabulous for the Make-A-Wish, too. It's heart-wrenching when you hear their stories.
Yenny, you are a designer in this show. And so what's the responsibility for you? What's your participation?
Well, my responsibility to bring in something different. Like I said, I love architectures, and I believe that fashion should be fun and not just strictly on fabric. I like to design one-of-a-kind dresses, and they're more like custom-made, couture-inspired garments. So hopefully I can, you know, provide something different for different clienteles. And
how many pieces of yours are in the show?
I'm going to have 10 pieces. Mm. And
is that your biggest showing through the year? Is this the premier event for you?
No, I've been involved with the fashion industry for a long time now. And I was in the Designing Dream Fashion Show a couple years ago. So this, you know, just the next one.
Give us a little personality about how the event is. And the shows are tonight and Saturday,
yes,
8 to 10 p.m.
Yes.
And how is it?
You mean?
When you're backstage, I mean, we see the reality shows and we see the Project Runway shows. And so how much of that is real
it's
for you?
It's actually kind of like that.
Is it?
The backstage is crazy back there.
It's very crazy back there. When you're in the audience, you think everything looks like it's going very smoothly. And you go backstage and people are running around half naked and hair's not done and missing a shoe. And it's almost kind of comical. But when it's all said and done, it's always a great show.
And then do you hope for purchases out of it? Yenny, are you looking for a new market?
Well, definitely. That's the ultimate goal. But at the same time, I just want to have fun back there, you know, with my models and just make it out of the event and, you know, everybody have fun.
Carrie, that's where your work as a personal stylist connects with this. You must bring clients to the show, don't you?
That's correct. I do. And that's really one of my main focuses for coming to the show is I feel strongly about keeping my clients here locally to shop locally. So whether it be the boutiques or these local designers. And so I do oftentimes bring a handful of clients who always end up using designers and buy pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yenny, you're talking about architecture in Northern California, but one of our riches is also nature and the world around us.
Yes, I get a lot of inspiration from the natures. In a matter of fact, one of my finale dress has a lot of scallops, so I don't know how many hundreds of pieces built on a foundation garment. And basically that's, you know, from going to the nature, ocean, I see the sea shelf and leaf and I see the patterns. I go, oh yeah, I could use that. And yeah, definitely.
That's actually a feeling that I get from you as a person sitting across from you. I feel like you are a nature person. What kind of fabric? Describe more about that family dress.
Well, I use a lot of gold and silver for this collection. The inspiration mainly is from the Zhou Dynasty. Zhou is one of the dynasties in the Chinese history. And my last name is Zhou. So it's, you know, the little connection there. But it's the richness in the textiles, and that kind of reflects where I come from, the culture. And but at the same time, I want to be like modern and flexible and fun. So you get this gold and silver metallic. It's kind of, you know, structure and non-nature, I would say. But at the same time, I kind of soften it with the style line, with, use a lot of curves and, you know, layerings, ruffles. And so I just try to combine, like, different elements. Same thing, combining the West and the East, you know, as, you know, that background I come from.
Do you find that the Sacramento community and the industry here provides enough support for you to continue to be able to be here?
We're not there yet still, but we're working hard on it. That's why, you know, the Sac Fashion Week is there, it's here for. I think the ultimate goal is have everybody to come together and work as a team, not just a stylist or, you know, a fashion designer, the merchandiser. It's close, I would say, and we're working very hard on it, you know, as a team to promote that industry.
Very well said. Well, it sounds like you're committed to being here.
Yes.
Carrie, do you want to give us more specifics about the event this weekend coming up so that people who might just be discovering it can pop in and participate?
Certainly. The event starts at 6 p.m. tonight as well as Saturday night. That is the VIP reception, and I was told that that actually sold out about 2 weeks ago, which is really exciting because that says that Sacramento is reaching out and getting involved. The general admission starts at 7, and then the show begins at 8 and runs from 8 to 10. So half of the designers will be showcased this evening, and the other half will be showcased on Saturday. There is always a local celebrity that helps to MC the event, which helps bring in a draw. And there's also some entertainment that oftentimes is done in between some of the designers. So all of it's local. So all of it's kept local. And the feeling is semi-formal, dressy, cocktail. It's a great way to pull out that little black dress that you feel like you only wear on special occasions and make this a special occasion. Shine up your shoes, do your hair and makeup and show up and really just show how Sacramento can shine.
We'll have information on our website at capradio.org/insight. I checked before the show started, and there were still tickets available to both nights.
Yes, just in the general seating, there are some tickets available. So I'd say if you don't get them online now, you may not get them at the door.
And what's the appeal to everybody else to be able to support if you're just a shopper or you love to wear clothes? How do we support people like Yenny and what's happening here on the fashion front?
I think the appeal is that we spend so much time maybe complaining about how Sacramento isn't like San Francisco or LA. And so I think the appeal or the draw is let's show the rest of California that we are like San Francisco and LA. And the appeal is this is a great night to come out and shine.
Cary Grant and Yenny Joe, thank you so much. Good luck with Sac Fashion Week. Good luck on the runway and with the stage. It was great to have you here. And I look forward to talking to you again about it and see what the show produces.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you
for the time.
Thank you. Good luck. And we'd like to hear your thoughts about today's show on our webpage, and you can find links to everything we've talked about. So please go to capradio.org/insight and let us know what you're thinking. And more than anything, remember to support this radio station and this program. I can tell you as a guest host, 2012 has been my first experience with the Insight team. They are terrific people. It is a terrific community. Service, please support at this time, especially with a contribution to keep all of us doing what we love doing for you. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight's assistant producers are James Morrison and Lynn Weaver. Today's associate producer was Sarah Jung. Our technical director is Mark Jones, and today's engineer was Evan Matzler. Our theme music was composed by Joe Gilman and Paul Conley, and Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. But you are the critical piece, so thank you for joining us.